Committee to order. The time is 3:20. The date is April 7, 2003, Wednesday. We have members present, Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Crawford, Vice Chairman Lynn, and myself, Representative Anderson. We do have a quorum to conduct business on today's schedule. House Bill 148 has been postponed because we cannot get the appropriate group to testify that is attached with the sponsor of the bill.
What's the number then?
That's 148. HB 218. Ralph Samuels, the sponsor, asked to postpone it. So we just have, not by design, but by default here, my bill, House Bill 194, which is regarding regional development organizations tax credits for corporate donations. We also have with us Representative David Guttenberg of Fairbanks. So with this bill before you, let me explain it briefly, and then I'll go through a CS that was recommended after our community and affairs, regional affairs meeting. Which one am I on? Thanks. So we're going to first look at the bill itself, because I think you have a CS before you. There's some people to testify as well. I had some corporations come to me and say, many of us throughout the state give to, contribute to ARDRs, also present as Representative Carl Gatto, for the record. We're dealing with House Bill 194, Carl. The other two bills have been postponed. So corporations came and they said, we donate to the 13 regional ARDRs throughout the state in Anchorage. It's the Anchorage Economic Development Council, but we don't get any tax credit for it, and we're trying to help spur development, you know, in the community, working with everything from recycling to economic development at the port, whatever city you may live in, whether it be Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Kenai, you can name anyone that an ARDR affects positively. And so I said, let me look into this. We drafted a bill, and we heard it in community regional affairs. Everyone was pretty supportive of it, and that's why we have some folks to testify today online. And what this does essentially is gives that tax credit, but does not go above the current cap for getting tax credits of $150,000. So a concern was raised, are you essentially taking from the general fund when a corporation now can give an additional $10,000 and get a tax credit? That would take from what's going into the general fund in terms of our budget. The response is no, there's a $150,000 cap, and if anything, they may switch who they give $10,000 to under that $150,000 parameter, but it would not reduce the budget, hence the 2-0 fiscal notes from revenue and from community regional affairs. And I think that actually now it's commerce and what is the new department? The new department, Community and Economic Development. I'm so used to Commerce and Community Regional Affairs. And because of that, we'll probably have the bill waived out of House Finance. In talking to Representative Williams, he didn't see a problem with that because it has a zero impact. And so the CS before you, which I'd ask once, I guess I should probably have, I'll move it. I'll move CS for HB 194. And hearing no objection, that's before us. What CS 194 does is simply from the department, they ask us to ensure that a definition, if you go to page 3 of that CS, and that's CS HB 194-23-LS0773/H for the secretary. Page 3 of the CS, line 16, subsection 3, states that for the purposes of this subsection, a regional development organization means a nonprofit organization or a nonprofit corporation that has been designated by the Department of Community and Economic Development as a regional development organization. So this is just one more assurance for us in terms of someone maybe falling through the cracks and getting a credit for a contribution that was not anticipated in this bill. This ensures, through department overview, that the designated donation is to an ARDR. And there are 13, I think there are 13 ARDRs in the state. That's what was confirmed in Community Regional Affairs. I have, Just, yeah, we have a list. We have a, I think I can get that while the people are testifying. I'm looking at my notes here. These ardors are an integral part of fostering economic development, like I say, in Alaska. And Mayor Wirtz noted in his support letter that, quote, without economic development, we can not hope to solve the state's fiscal dilemma, nor can we ensure a vibrant future for the state. This is the key to helping realize the vision through these three, or actually 13 ardors. And the ardors, Representative Dahlstrom, are Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, Arctic Development Council, Bering Strait Development Council, Copper Valley Economic Development Council, Fairbanks North Star Borough Economic Development Council, or Commission, Interior Rivers Resource Conservation and Development Council, Kenai Peninsula Borough Economic Development District, Lower Kuskokwim Economic Development Council, Matsu Resource Conservation and Development Incorporated, Northwest Arctic Borough Economic Development Commission, Prince William Sound Economic Development District, Southeast Conference, and Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference. So this reaches the entire state. I think that's why many folks in the last couple of days or last week have agreed to co-sponsor the legislation. Why don't we go to, unless you have questions, Representative Crawford.
Chairman. It sounds like this is a zero-sum game. You know, $150,000 is the maximum tax credit allowed. If these companies are taking full advantage of it today, does that mean that other charities are now going to lose out by being able to give to an ardor?
Sure. And that's a good question. It would be hard to predict. I mean, I would assume if a corporation, if Wells Fargo gives $150,000, and now this is another entity to which they can donate, I would assume yes, it might.
I don't know all the.
I mean, I'll be honest. Yeah, it might.
Charities that they give to, but would this be a zero? I mean, a fiscal note against United Way or something like that to do this?
That's a hard one to respond to because I don't know the list, but I know you, being as pro-business as you are, as everyone at the table, I would hope that you would respond that you allow Wells Fargo or any company to give to who they please, but give them as many opportunities to give that charity. And I think these ardors are as important as, you know, any.
I know there's a social good in developing new businesses, but I don't know if that's what we decided. I mean, when they decided to make $150,000 cap, whether they were thinking about economic development as being a charity, as opposed to say a food bank or United Way or something like that. And I'm just curious as to, you know, who might suffer by doing this, because for every action there's a reaction.
Of course, and it's always the analogy of is the glass half full or half empty. With that mindset, you might think that this would have a negative impact if we could determine who might be taken away from. But I think conversely, staff writes an important note that this forces charities to compete for donations, and I applaud that. I think that compete in the context of make sure your program is efficient and worthy, and I think ardors are equally as important as any other charity. It's ardor isn't a charity, but in the context of what its mission statement, what their mission statements are in terms of development throughout the state. And so I would say this just notifies groups like the United Way, Dennis McMillan, actually, who just left last week, to make sure that when you request assistance from corporations, you have a target for what you're asking the donation for. And I would also add that I don't think, you know, Easter Seals is going to lose out on this. It's hard to speculate who would, if any.
And the limit, if I read it correctly, was only 10,000 out of that 150 could be given to an ardor, and they can't make like two donations to two different ardors. Is that right, or?
That actually is a good question. This is Representative Anderson. Is the Department of Revenue online? Mike Graber? Oh, I had Mike. Mr. Graber, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Great. The question from Representative Crawford was, and your interpretation is advised here, can I use Wells Fargo. Can any corporation, can they give 5,000 to one arter to AEDC in Anchorage and then another 5,000 to Arctic Development Council and receive a $10,000 credit? Or would they have to give strictly the cap up to 10,000 only to one arter? I would think you could split it up.
Wait, that's not my question exactly. What if you could give $10,000 to Anchorage Economic Development Council and then 10,000 to the Kenai one? Are you just limited to $10,000 out of the whole 150,000? Because the way it, I mean, if that were the case, they could make 13 donations to Arters and only $20,000 to food banks or something. So I was just wondering.
My understanding is it's a flat $10,000 limit to each corporation or each taxpayer.
Hear what he said.
Taxpayer.
Could you repeat that?
Right. The way I read the statute, I would read that as a flat $10,000 limit, period. Now, you can divide that up among several arterers, but in no event is the taxpayer going to get more than a $10,000 credit.
That's what I thought.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure.
Okay. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The way I read this.
Right here.
Or in my understanding, a tax credit is a tax forgiveness dollar for dollar.
Correct.
Now, that's a great deal for a corporation. What they get to do is not pay it. In fact, they get to not pay a tax and instead use that money to donate it to an arter of their choice. What's in it for anybody else? What they're doing, essentially, is taking money that they would have given to the state and being able to direct it directly to a company or a group that some taxpayers may say is good, other taxpayers may say is terrible. And yet, they're taking tax money and directing it in a certain direction. So I guess my question is, why would we want anybody to be allowed to do that? What's the advantage to the citizen? What's the advantage to the state? I know there's a terrific advantage to a company because they can say, they can use it as a PR. Shouldn't they have to pay for it? I mean, they get PR without spending a nickel.
Representative Gatto, because we have arters online, I think they'll address what they do and how they benefit their respective communities and how this assists with encouragement from corporations to donate even additional with that incentive. So we'll get to your question first when we have AEDC testify. Do we have any more questions for the bill itself, the CS? Regarding the CS, not for the CS. CS can't talk. Okay, hearing none, we'll go then to, how about we go to AEDC first? And I see two folks from AEDC so that they can address how this affects them, what they do for, in this case, the municipality of Anchorage, which one, two, three, four, almost everybody in the committee here today represents a district in. And then we'll go down the line with Chugach Electric or Kuskokwim, and that would be it. Currently. So go ahead, AEDC. I have two folks. I don't know who wants to testify. If you could state your name, though, for the record.
Sure, Mr. Chairman. My name is Burton Benjamin Johnson, and I represent the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. AEDC would appreciate your support for House Bill 194. We believe that House Bill 194 will actually have a positive impact on economic development. It will allow us and other regional development organizations to much more easily reach out to corporate taxpayers in our district by suggesting that those taxpayers contribute, in this case, $10,000 of their $150,000 limit to local economic development efforts. Especially in this time of budget constraints, I believe we need to think creatively about how we can encourage economic development in our state. And I believe House Bill 194 will give the state a tool that it can leverage into more resources for these efforts. House Bill 194 will give regional development organizations an incentive to build strong relationships with local businesses. And in fact, it may actually have a very positive impact, not just on the state budget, also on local budgets, by encouraging economic growth.
Are there any questions for Mr. Johnson? Hearing none, is it Mr. Johnson? Boy, your name.
Well, this is what happens when you get married to a very strong and independent woman. And the Bangerman is my wife, and the Johnson is me, and we merged our two names.
Okay. There is a question from Representative Gatto.
Certainly.
Is Mr. Johnson Johnson, is that what it goes?
Johnson is just fine.
Thank you.
And Representative Roper has joined us.
You just said the state gets a tool to help develop businesses.
Yes.
How does the state get anything if you're just taking money away?
Well, first of all, I believe that we're really not taking money away. Quite frankly, there is still that $150,000 limit, and within that limit, if an organization in the past has contributed to other non-economic development organizations up to that limit, there's no impact there. Secondly, that money that goes to, in our case, the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, is used on a day or will be used on a daily basis to recruit businesses into the state, to help existing, which is very important. That's my role in the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, business retention and business expansion, to help local businesses grow by providing a resource. And I think from that perspective, if we do grow those local businesses and if we bring in additional business into the state, this actually does have a positive impact on the state's general budget because it will increase your tax base.
Representative Cato, follow up?
Follow up, please.
Yes.
I think it would work much better if you gave me the 10 and let me invest it. How would you investing that money be any better than me or any better than anybody here or anybody in the state investing this money, since you're saying that it leads to development, it leads to progress, it leads to any number of things? But anyone can do it. Why would I want you to do it, since it's your money and you're essentially being able to direct it so easily and get a benefit for that charitable reason?
And let me intervene before you answer. Is it true you're not the corporation getting the tax credit? You're the recipient, correct? You're the
arter.
That's
correct. We are the recipient of that tax credit.
So when he says, "Why don't you give me the money?" I respond basically again to what you already testified on, what AEDC does and what an arter does in Anchorage. Maybe some programs or aspects
sure.
in Anchorage of what
absolutely.
You've been active with.
And it's a really good question. What we are is a public-private partnership. We currently do get a fair amount of our budget from the city of Anchorage. We do get a fair amount of our budget actually from the state of Alaska. And we get the bulk of our money from private corporations, even at this time, to support economic development. And with these programs, we've been able to successfully recruit, for example, Federal Express into the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport, which I believe was a great benefit to not just this community, but also to the state as a whole.
Let me also add, this is Representative Anderson, we have Municipality of Anchorage in support of this, KPMG, MATSU, Resource Conservation and Development Council, Charles Parker, Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District, Lower Kuskokwim, of course the Arters are for it, Providence Hospital, Northwest Arctic Borough, Walsh Shepherd Flynn, the communications company, Pat Walsh over there, Anchorage Sand and Gravel. You don't know how many letters we could get if you really wanted letters of support. ASCG, Kunz Pfeffer Bettis, everyone knows Mark Pfeffer, the architects, Chugach Electric, who are also online, Fairbanks North Star Borough, Prince William Sound Economic Development District. So I think, the support is there in the context of why would we give to Arters. I don't know what more in terms of Representative Gatto's question. I would say that if you're concerned about the fiscal note, you should ask maybe the Department of Revenue rather than, you want to ask Mr. Graber?
No, I have a different question.
Okay,
for
Representative Gatto.
Partly, how many of these letters you got are from people that have no direct interest in this, in that they're not conceivable recipients?
None. Of course, people would.
Right.
Why would someone write that aren't affected?
Well, what I'm
saying. How many times have we received letters as legislators that we receive someone that's not affected by this?
And that's why I don't want to put a lot of weight in a group of letters from people that have a direct ability to gain from any kind of legislation. My concern is not that I object to this. My concern is that you get on the list, you're in good shape. You're not on the list, you're in bad shape. Everybody who wants to get on the list and doesn't will write you a letter. A, to get on the list, and B, if they don't get on it, to complain how come they didn't get on it. I'm not sure that I feel very comfortable that this legislation can achieve. something that isn't bordering on something that shouldn't be allowed to happen. They get to direct, I want to direct my tax money to, I really do, and say, gee, Mr. Government, every time I pay a tax, I wish 10% of it, I could figure out where it goes. We all want that, but I'm not allowed to do that. And so we're not allowed to do it on the federal level, but we're saying here, it's okay to do, and you get to pick whichever group you want to send it to out of this recognized group of people that we've somehow allowed can be in part of this group.
Okay, let me respond. Do you understand the ARDER system in Commerce and Economic Development, where there are regional development corporations? There are 13 throughout the state. The largest would be Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, who just testified in support. You recognize that there's a $150,000 corporate tax cap from which a corporation can come to the state revenue and say, okay, we've given up to $150,000 to these allowable entities. Will you give us a credit? And they will, up to that amount. And with this legislation, we're saying, in addition to charities, the university, there's a list of areas where this ceiling fits in. We're adding the 13 ARDRs. And then with the CS, we've stated that Commerce and Economic Development Community, one of these days I'll get the new department title down, they will have to approve if any additional ARDRs are attempted. And I don't know if that directly addresses your question.
Well, I'd be happy as a clam if this was their money they were just giving away. But they're giving away the state's money.
But you recognize that $150,000 is still the...
Yeah,
so if Wells Fargo gives $150,000 to the university, let's say $75,000 to the university and $75,000 to United Way, and through this bill now they give $65,000 to the university, yes, a little less, $10,000 to AEDC, and $75,000 to United Way, I guess I don't follow your line of reasoning that that would be a detriment or affect the state's budget in any way.
Are they giving away state taxes and getting a credit?
Yes, but most of the companies that have written are already getting that credit with $150,000. None of them are going to increase above the $150,000. So, for instance, my speculation is that Providence Hospital, who supports this, gives $150,000 already.
Gets
a tax credit up to that level in terms of their donations. So my response to you would be, if you have a problem with that, you'd want to have a different bill to prevent their tax credit cap. This bill simply says you can give to one more group of 13 ARDRs in that $150,000 tax credit ceiling.
Just expanding the people they can give.
Exactly.
Where does it say that?
Says that. You want to find, and why don't we keep having, I'll look for the line just so we don't make these folks wait. Why don't we have Lee Thiebert, is it, with Chugach Electric?
That's correct.
Thanks. Sorry to make you wait, and I'll find the line where the ceiling is referenced. Go ahead. You can testify.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Anderson, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this afternoon. My name is Lee Thiebert, so I am the chief of staff here at Chugach Electric. Chugach is the largest electric utility in Alaska, representing roughly 60,000 member owners. Roughly half of our retail load is from commercial customers.
Page 3.
Small and medium-sized businesses that we feel will benefit most from this overall economic development. Organizations such as the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation provide valuable information to businesses who are trying to expand and attract new markets. Chugach supports House Bill 194. We believe the tax credit will be an additional incentive for businesses to invest in their future and also the future of Alaska. Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to comment this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Is it Thiebert?
Thiebert.
Yeah, we met before. Thanks, Lee. Are there any questions? Representative Roper.
Mr. Chairman, Thiebert, does Chugach Electric pay taxes so they're allowed to have a tax credit, or are you a nonprofit organization?
Representative Crawford, Chugach is a tax-exempt corporation, so we will have no direct benefit from this program.
Uh-huh. That was, Mr. Thiebert, that was pro-business representative Norm Roper.
Hey, Mr. Chairman.
So I apologize.
I'd like to point here that
the representative.
CEA has no real vested interest other than their customer base in trying to promote economic development, I think is the point.
That would be correct, Representative.
Are there any other questions? Okay, you can hang with us, Lee. Why don't we go to Carl Berger with the Lower Kuskokwim EDC.
Thank you, Representative Anderson, and thanks to the committee for allowing us to testify. And yes, I would appreciate your support also for House Bill 194. We're a little different than some of the other RIRs. We're a very small organization. I'm the executive director, and I'm it. We operate in the Lower Kuskokwim region in southwest Alaska. We represent Bethel and 26 other villages that are only accessible by air. We've operated our program since 1992, so it's been over 12 years now. And essentially, we receive about $47,000 in state funding, which doesn't even cover my salary. So I'm obliged to go out and raise other funds, and we've been able to do that successfully for 12 years to keep our program functioning. But it's essentially just at a very basic level. The cost of doing business out here is much higher than it is in other parts of the state. And giving us one more tool, which is to encourage someone to help us with a contribution, would certainly be appreciated, but it's certainly not guaranteed that we'll get such a contribution. But we have had many businesses assist us both in in-kind contributions as well as cash contributions for the various activities that we've promoted in our region. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of this bill. If you have any questions, I'd certainly try to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Berger. I also want to direct the committee's attention to in the packet, and I failed to target this while we were going through the initial changes from the CS, the one change. It states, I guess, I don't know what page it would be, but there's a list of the different referenced sections where the tax credits fall in other words, where a corporation can get a tax credit. Do you see that? That should answer some of your questions in terms of, before I answer you, Representative Roper, let me finish here. So do you see this right here, this form? I don't know how else to reference it because these packets are never numbered by page, but it goes through that one area you can get a tax credit from corporate donation is insurance tax credit for gifts to colleges. Another is insurance tax credit for gifts to Alaska Fire Standards Council. I mean, there's some ones that I don't even know where these came from. But when you talk about charities, I mean, just look at the list. Income tax education credit, oil or gas producer education credit, oil or gas property education credit, mining business education credit, fisheries business education credit, and fisheries resource landing tax education credit. So of all the ones I just listed, an ARDR makes as much sense or more than any of the ones I just read. Representative Roper, a question for Mr. Berger?
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Berger. Mr. Berger, can you tell the committee what your gross annual budget has been this last year?
Yes. In the past year, we had a budget of $74,170. We were able to raise $26,100 in cash contributions during the last year, and I'm very proud of that. That was a large amount for us to raise. We're very small organization. We have high costs of trying to serve our population out here. We've essentially been operating on an inadequate state grant for a number of years, and we've made the best of the situation. And I would say, too, that even if this were to pass, there is still no guarantee that we're going to be able to solicit successfully a donation. But we will certainly try, and I don't consider us a charity. We are an organization that's freestanding. We have our own board of directors. They all participate in our activities. We have many methods of getting support from within our region, from in-kind contributions, which are just as valuable sometimes as the cash contribution. I guess I went way beyond your question, didn't I?
Well, that's okay. Representative Roper has a follow-up.
That's okay. We, It's not the Lions Club. You don't get fined for advertising.
All right.
I do have a question. In your 12 years of operations, could you give the committee your top three successes that you can directly attribute to your activities?
All right. Well, we've have a fisheries project now going on for the last 5 summers, and we're going to operate again this summer, where we provide what are called flesh ice bags to commercial fishermen in our region in order for them to be able to improve the quality of the catch and obtain a higher price from the buyer that we have. Also going on at the same time is the fact that the fish are not returning in the usual numbers over the last several seasons, and we've had disaster declarations in 4 out of the last 5 fishing seasons. But we continue to have an operating fishery. We still have one buyer left in the region, and I feel we've made the success by having people ice their catch and in turn being able to obtain a larger price for their fish per pound. It's only a couple cents a pound, but that makes a difference out here when you have no other source of income, and the commercial salmon fishery is many people's prime source of income. The other activity that we've been involved in is we've been trying to increase the visitor industry to our area, and we've sponsored familiarization trips for travel agents and travel industry representatives to our area the last few summers, encouraging people who are working in the business to come out and understand our region a little better. Many travel agents in Anchorage have never been to Bethel, have no understanding of what's here, that we have places for people to go to do sport fishing and river rafting and other activities. And we have other people interested in setting up businesses and bird watching. And so we're starting to increase the number of visitors in our region on a very small basis, I will say. But still, every new visitor brings money into our region and into our communities and is a satisfied customer. We do our best to tailor-make people's activities out here based on what they ask for. Those are two activities that we've been involved with that we feel have had some good results.
And Mr. Berger, this is Representative Anderson. I read the list from which this bill essentially adds to, and those are the statutes. I didn't reference the statute numbers, but I read, you know, the Alaska Fire Standards Council is one entity to which a corporation can give a donation and receive a tax credit. This list really doesn't have to deal with charities as much as, I mean, isn't it more related to ARDRs? When I read, like, one of the entities is a corporation can get a tax credit for is an oil or gas producer education credit, or an income tax education credit. I mean, there's, I think, 6 of them, or a mining business education credit. When people on the committee, when folks on the committee stated, hey, you're going to take away from United Way, really the category in which we're including this tax credit is really related to business enterprise and resource development, mining. I mean, as I read it, is that true in your opinion as well?
Yes, that would be my opinion. I'm not sure where the idea of charities came up. I just started hearing it during this hearing. We are not a charity. We, you know, of course, go out and ask for funds for people that we feel are interested in what we're doing and have expressed some interest in trying to help us in some way. But there are certainly no guarantees. We ask a lot of people. Sometimes we don't get a positive answer, and occasionally we do.
Great, thank you. I see in the audience Tim Rogers is here, and I also Representative Guttenberg, I think, has a question. But again, I do want to know, the Representative Guttenberg from Fairbanks and Rhonda Boyles, the mayor there, endorsed this, and so did the mayor from Anchorage, George Wirch. So that's in response to Representative Gatto's, I think, question to a degree. So why don't, Representative Guttenberg, why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Berger, you're an official nonprofit in the state of Alaska, registered with
yes,
the feds.
We are a 501c3. We established that at the beginning.
Do you get, or have you tried to get gaming money?
No.
Okay. Another question, if I may, Mr. Chairman. I heard you mention earlier that you are doing some icing programs for fisheries, and we heard a mandatory icing bill in resources. I was wondering if you're getting, if you're doing that for free, or if you're doing that for a, if they're compensating you back for that.
We're doing it without charge to the fishermen. We've been able to obtain funding over the last several years from a whole variety of different sources each year, from groups as diverse as the Alaska Conservation Foundation and ExxonMobil. Exxon has helped us for four summers now with a summer student that we hired in Quinnahawk that oversees our project there. And we've also received some funds from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, as well as some state commerce and economic development. So we've had funding from a variety of sources, and most of it goes into equipment that we've purchased for fishermen to use, again, without charge, the slush ice bags. And the idea is to try to encourage them, if they like the equipment, to buy it. A bag costs about $200, and it can be used for all kinds of different things, both in the commercial season and during subsistence fishing.
Mr. Chair, thank you. What I'm concerned about, and some of the other things that we talked about when we heard this bill, was if it should be done, then there'd be an economic return on it. It doesn't sound like the difference between icing fish and not icing fish gives enough of an enhanced product to pay for itself. And it seemed like if it was worth doing and it enhanced the product enough, then there would be an economic return on it, and it would be something they would want to do. Instead, it sounds like you're just supplying ice to them as, you know, and it doesn't sound like it's really enhancing that industry.
Well, actually, it is the buyer who provides the ice. We provide the gear, which is the bag itself. It's a very simple open skiff fishery where people just pick the fish out of the net, put it right into the slush ice, and then the fish is transported to the buyer. Now, the buyer, well, we had more than one buyer before the fishing plant Bethel was shut down 2 summers ago. Buyers paid a price, a premium for fish that were iced. Now we have, between the lack of fish returning, we have a few enough fishermen that the one buyer is saying, you will ice the fish or I won't take them at all. But as a result, they've been paid an extra couple of cents a pound each season since we've been operating. So there is a return to the fishermen, yes, for doing this. And it makes our fish saleable where they would not be otherwise. We have a good quality product. We're up against tremendous shipping costs getting them to market. If we don't have a top quality product, we can't sell it even if we do get it to market.
I'm just wondering what the processor gets. How it enhances
his product. Well, the processor doesn't make a lot of money, but they continue to come back and do it. It's Coastal Village Fisheries.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Berger? Hearing none, is there any other individual online that wants to testify to this bill? Hearing none, anyone in the audience? Tim, are you interested? That's, yes, it is. Welcome.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Tim Rogers. I'm Legislative Program Coordinator for the Municipality of Anchorage. I believe you have a letter in the packet from Mayor Wirch in support of this legislation. Municipality of Anchorage supports AEDC to the tune of about $450,000 a year right now. That's out of our tax revenues. We have found it over the years to be a very worthwhile public-private partnership to promote economic development. I don't think AEDC can take credit for everything that's happened out to the airport, but they certainly have been an instrumental entity in attracting a lot of the business that has come to the airport. FedEx, UPS, a number of the smaller organizations that are there, and it's been a very, very worthwhile investment for us. This bill provides an incentive for local businesses to provide further contributions or contributions to AEDC to further support the activities of the organization and for all the arters. And I think it's crafted in a way that will not increase the or dilute the burden of or the revenue that the state's getting off of taxes. So I think it's a very good bill. I think it'll help economic development throughout the state, and we certainly support it.
Questions for Mr. Rogers? He would be the one. I think that the biggest impact is in Anchorage with this. I mean, just by default of the population. Representative Gatto, you had a question, then Representative Guttenberg.
I did. I noticed there was one of the letters here from one of the areas that said they were interested in stimulating their employment. Over the last 2 years, they made in excess of 150 small business loans, providing blanky blank, et cetera, to so many residents. Isn't there room for abuse here? In that you can certainly make a loan to your brother-in-law to open up a bait plant, or you know, you can do a lot of things. How do you make sure?
Well, I can't answer that question because I don't believe AEDC makes loans. Primarily what Anchorage Economic Development Corporation does, which may be different from some of the other ARDRs, is look for ways to attract new businesses to the city and to provide technical assistance to existing businesses in ways to improve their business. But I'm not aware of any loans that AEDC makes.
For clarification for the record, that's from a letter from Roswell Schaefer, Sr., the mayor of the Northwest Arctic Borough. So that on that letterhead, I think the discussion in the letter was that there's a partnership with the ARDR and the borough in what you're referring to. Representative Gatto. Any other questions for Mr. Rogers? Representative Guttenberg.
I'm just asking because you're the last one sitting here, so maybe you can answer to somebody online from revenue. But a corporation making this donation, is it eligible to dip into get a deduction off the federal returns as well as this state tax credit?
I don't know. I can't answer that. Mr. Graber from Department of Revenue, can you answer that one?
Well, the federal rules would operate independently of this, and it would depend upon whether the ARDR had a 501c3 designation or a 501 designation generally federally, and that I don't know. So in other words, if the taxpayer were to give a contribution to one of the ARDRs and it did qualify federally for a contribution as a nonprofit or qualify for contribution deduction, it would get a federal deduction for that. But it would not get a deduction for the on the LAFTA return because they would take the credit in lieu of the deduction.
So this is Representative Anderson, so one or the other?
Correct.
Crawford?
I'm not sure if I understood that. They could get a credit from the state of Alaska at the same time. Could they get a deduction from the federal?
Yes.
So they could actually get more than 100% back for their charitable, I mean, not charitable donation, but donation under this $150,000 limit.
I guess that would be true.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Representative Anderson, so let me, I listed the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other statutory references to tax credits that are currently in our statutes. I would assume the same applies to giving a donation to those entities.
Well, that might not be, I should probably clarify that. What you're looking at on that chart, you're looking at where the education credit goes. The education credit we currently have on the statute goes to the 4-year colleges in Alaska. It's limited to $150,000, and that credit can be applied to any one of those taxes. Those taxes don't carry a specific credit. The question was asked in the prior committee, what was the level of the credits that were currently under the $150,000 limit? And that chart sets that out for you gentlemen. So you've got currently under this $150,000 cap, there really are three credits currently that currently operate. One is the education credit. One is a credit to the Alaska Fire Standards Council. And there's a third credit that hasn't taken effect yet, or put it this way, we haven't seen them on tax returns yet, and that's for the Alaska Veterans Memorial Fund. And under consideration now would add a fourth credit tied to that existing three, and that would be for ardors. So this really doesn't or shouldn't affect charitable contributions at all, only to the extent there might be an overlap there with the colleges and universities.
Representative Vettenberg, do you have a Representative Roper next, but do you have a follow-up?
No, I'll wait.
I thank you for that clarification, because then I misspoke when I noted the seven reference statute subsection.
Right, those are just the tax types that the taxpayer currently can apply the credit to.
Okay. So, well, let me ask a question then Representative Roper. When Representative Crawford, and I think it was a reasonable question when he said, would this not mean that if a company is getting a credit up to $150,000 and you add this, and they wanted to give money to a donation to an ardor, then they would take away from another charity? Or I mean, how would you define that when that question was raised?
In terms of would a charity then, let's say he used United Way, is it possible that they would then? I don't know how to phrase the question, actually. Charity to give to another, I guess that was his question, but it sounds like this doesn't affect that.
No, I don't think it does.
They can call it a mistake.
Okay. Could be double dipping.
They're not competing.
Can I, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Representative Roper.
Scarborough, I just want to clarify this. I guess I'm somewhat confused and concerned about your statement where you indicated that depending on their tax status as a nonprofit, might impact the taxable event by a donor corporation. It seems by your answer that it implies that a donor corporation could basically double dip by giving to a nonprofit ardor and or thereby get a tax credit from the state corporate tax, but also a deduction from their federal income tax. Well, I'm looking at Section 7 of the bill, sir. If I could refer you to the Regional Development Organization Tax Credit, subsection B, subsection 2, says a contribution claimed as a credit under this section may not also be allowed as a deduction under 26 United States Code 170 against the tax imposed by this chapter. Isn't that language restrictive of allowing that, or is that or does that mean something else, or am I off base there?
Is that a question for Ms. Mark Graver? Is that a question for me?
Yes, it is, sir.
Yes, what that says is for Alaska income tax purposes, they cannot take a charitable contribution deduction.
Oh, only.
We have no say over whether they could take it federally or not.
I see. So under their state corporate tax,
for Alaska income tax purposes, that's correct. They cannot double dip for Alaska purposes.
But we don't care about the IRS. We can't do anything about it. Is that right?
That's correct.
So it's up to the IRS to make a ruling about that. And do you have any background in as far as that, how that may work?
I'm sorry, that last part I got cut out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have any idea what any rulings by the IRS or how they might treat that type of money?
My personal opinion is I don't think they would care. I think it's a fairly common occurrence that states treat charitable contributions differently than the federal government does. And since they're relatively independent taxing systems, I don't think IRS would really be interested in it.
So your testimony, by my interpretation, was this might allow a double dip on a corporation's income tax return, but not a triple dip because they can't do it on the state of Alaska's return.
Right, and the only reason we reference the Internal Revenue Code is because Chapter 20 of the Alaska Income Tax Statutes
with some exceptions, adopts the Internal Revenue Code by reference. So that's why you see a reference to the Internal Revenue Code. And all that, what that rule is really saying is that if you take the credit for Alaska purposes, you're not going to get the deduction on your Alaska corporate income tax return.
And corporate income tax returns are a separate return. They're not like the old Alaska return as a percentage of the federal. They're a separate return that would be governed
right,
by...
Right, so you calculate taxable income separately.
Right.
Right.
Thank you, Chairman.
Representative Guttenberg, do you have a follow-up?
I guess I want to... just a clarification. This throws in the arters into the same pool as Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
That's to you, Mr. Graber. It would be nice to have that defined, because I've had some other folks say that. Actually, I'm not confused, but it's hard to respond to that, other than to say that in terms of donations, you're expanding who the corporation can donate to and receive a credit for. I mean, it's hard to say who they will not give as a result of this, though. They may still give to charities and just not get the tax credit.
Right.
I can answer
Representative Roper?
To a charitable organization like Big Brothers and Big Sisters of the Boys and Girls Club, you get the double dip, but you get the double dip based on your deduction, not a tax credit. That is to say, you can deduct it from your state corporate tax as a donation or a contribution and paying your federal taxes, but you wouldn't get a tax credit for it. And Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Graber, is it my understanding is this is a tax credit rather than a deduction then? So it's a dollar-for-dollar reduction in their taxes owed rather than just a contribution, which would be based on adjusted gross income calculation.
Right, that's correct.
So this is worth a heck of a lot more. So this is actually a more inviting contribution by a corporation. It's better for them to give to an ARTR than it is to give to the Boys and Girls Club.
They would get a better tax benefit from that.
Right.
Thank you for that clarification.
Better for them to give than not to give.
There's so many different ways you can analyze this.
It might be. You got a good accountant.
I look at Phillips Petroleum, or ConocoPhillips. I look at BP. I look at Wells Fargo, Vico. They have given. I'm on the Big Brothers Big Sisters Board of Directors. And I will speak as a board member. They give at our bowl-a-thon, they give at several different charities a year, and I don't think they would ever not give due to this ARTR tax credit. I mean, I almost can assure you they're not going to say, this year we're not going to fund the bowl-a-thon, we're giving to AEDC. I don't think that would happen.
I just can't avoid not going into an anecdote, and maybe former Speaker Bradner can help me correct if I get this factually wrong. In the good old days when Alaska had a progressive income tax, the legislature here was so wise that they actually created a mechanism whereas a citizen of the state of Alaska could make a political contribution and make money on their federal taxes because of the way the tax law was done. I see it, the assent. I can't remember exactly how they did that. We might want to get a memorandum to our Ways and Means Committee, but the tax code can be used because actually, if you gave a politician like a $200 contribution and then you got to write it off in your taxes at the time, you actually made some money because it was kind of interesting.
I think what happened is that the credit was still on the books after the tax was gone.
Oh yeah, that got really egregious. They were trying to get money.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Graber or for Mr. Rogers while they're online, or any of the individuals? Representative Crawford, and to whom?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering if anybody can give me some history as to how we decided that an insurance tax credit for gifts to the Alaska Fire Standards Council was worth a dollar-for-dollar credit when we only get a deduction for Boys and Girls Clubs or some other charitable organization like that. How did we arrive at that?
Mr. Gravo. Strike that from the record.
Mr. Chairman, as I recall, it was John Williams, the mayor of Kenai, hired an excellent lobbyist, and he was the Representative Navarre still in there? No, was it after Mike? Something like that.
Okay, so hearing no other questions for Mr. Rogers, thanks Tim, or for Mr. Graber. If there are no other questions, I think you know what's before you, and I think you understand now with the delineation between federal and state, and I think that it's up to you to decide. I don't think we can target if a corporation will now not give to a charity. I don't believe that's the case, but I guess that's for you guys to decide, Representative Rookford.
Mr. Chairman, I just couldn't help but react in passing the Representative Crawford's interesting statement and accuracy of it. The Rules Committee is always looking for repealers of legislation, so just to let you know.
For the record, Mr. Gravel's on the phone. Just okay, well, then we'll close public testimony, and it sounds like there's somewhat of agreeance that you understand the bill. I'd certainly like a motion to move this. Representative Dahlstrom.
I move and ask unanimous consent that we move CS for House Bill number 194-LS0773-H with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is that zero fiscal note or notes?
Plural.
Notes. Plural, yeah, there's commas. Good.
No there. Object.
Okay.
Question.
Sure.
I am. Everything that we're doing in this legislative body, I mean, most of the committees that I've sat on, I've heard discussion about for nonprofits to go out and find more money, to go out and do a better job on rounding up nonprofit dollars. And, you know, the state and the federal government are squeezing these guys in there. All of the giant nonprofit grantors are squeezed by the market considerations just like everybody else. And to put this into play on that with all the other little nonprofits that are trying to buy wheelchairs for kids and stuff like that is a major consideration for me. I recognize that economic development is really important, and in some ways it's, you know, you can get out of that hole. You have to get out of the hole by development. I'm not sure where the return is on this for that and where the competitive nature is between the two of them. Who are going to hurt? You can never decide. I mean, I sit on some granting organizations, and, you know, we look at things in a lot of different ways, and I'm just concerned about what happens in that context. So.
Any other committee members in this discussion stage of a wonderful bill? Representative Crawford?
Mr. Chairman, you know, I like I said before, I think this is a zero-sum game of this. Under this $150,000 credit, we're not taking any of that $150,000, it seems, away from any other charities. But the fact that we give a dollar for dollar credit for this and only a deduction for charities disturbs me greatly. And I think we need to take a look at it here, but maybe not in this legislation. It seems to be the wrong time, the wrong vehicle.
I'll remove my objection if the dialogue is over.
So, hearing no further objection, then the bill is so moved. And we have no other bills before us. So, thank you for your time, and we will be adjourning now, which is 4:20. Thank you.